Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the National MS Society Improving Independence Conference Call. Your host for today is Nancy Chazen. Ms. Chazen, you may now begin.
Okay, thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. I am honored tonight to introduce our guest speaker, June Halper. June is a dedicated professional working to provide the best comprehensive care to people with MS. After working for more than 30 years in the MS world, June has an extensive resume, but I'm only going to highlight a few accomplishments. June is a nurse practitioner. She helped create the standards for the credentialing of MS nurses. She currently serves as the executive director of the Consortium for MS Centers. She is the chair of the Clinical Advisory Committee for the National MS Society New Jersey Metro Chapter. She volunteers her time one day a week at a community health care center. June worked tirelessly years ago to help create and develop the first MS center in New Jersey, in Teaneck, New Jersey. And she has authored and co-authored several books about the clinical care of the MS patient and is known worldwide as a respected and committed clinician. Without further delay, I introduce you to June Halper. Take it away,
June. Thank you, Nancy. Boy, no wonder I'm tired. Well, it's so good to talk to you all. I wish I could see you all. That's the one frustrating part of dealing over the phone. And my topic tonight is dealing with progressive multiple sclerosis. And I'm just fresh back from the Consortium of MS Centers annual meeting where there was a debate, and you would have all found it extremely interesting, where two physicians, a Dr. Peter Stice, S-T-Y-S, from Calgary, Richard Ranzahoff from the Cleveland Clinic, were debating whether MS starts from the inside and then goes out, causing damage, or was it due to the outside, an environmental factor, and then coming in. And one of the things that was said by Dr. Stephen Hauser, who's probably one of the world's leading MS geneticists, is that he feels that MS is MS is MS. It's all one disease, and there are different courses that the disease may follow. But everybody with MS deserves comprehensive care, and that was one of the conclusions, no matter what drugs, what other things that are out there. But there is a mantra that we've adopted throughout the MS world, including the National MS Society, the Consortium, the IOMSN, is to provide people with MS with the best we can do and what we call the team approach. And I think you received slides that I developed a while ago looking at the MS team and nurses and PAs and NPs and case managers compose the MS team along with your neurologist. And many of you know that MS should be diagnosed and treated by a neurologist. Many of you may live in areas that are more rural. You may have a harder time getting to a neurologist. But I think people with MS should see a neurologist at least once a year, if not more frequently. And I think people with MS deserve the roles and the shared roles, and I'm just going through my slides, and of course, when you have time, you can go through them as well. You need to share roles with the multidisciplinary team because this life is a lifelong disease. This is not something like you break your leg and you get a cast on and then you get all better. This is a disease that starts and doesn't go away, but can be managed very, very well. And I think it can be managed very well. And tonight's not the night to talk about medications, but there are a lot of new medications that are out there that we're starting to see can control the disease extremely well. And when people are diagnosed, we really don't know if they're progressive or relapsing remitting, but most people now are given a chance to get on drugs very, very early, and that's a good thing. But people with MS also need ongoing services through the shared roles of the multidisciplinary team, and that's ongoing assessment. How are you doing? Education. You need to be safe. In fact, one of the posters that won an award at our meeting was a wonderful poster developed by Deborah Frankel, who works at the National MS Society, on safety and protecting patients from falling. And that's always been a problem in MS, but today there is no excuse. There is so much education. There are so many wonderful assistive devices out there that falling is not acceptable any longer, and we've got to keep everybody with MS safe. Advocacy, rehabilitation, emotional support, and I have that twice on my slide, because throughout your life with MS, You need emotional support, not only by your friends, your family, but the professional team. You need to have home care planning if you're sort of stuck at home for a relapse. You need your symptoms managed effectively, such as your bowel, your bladder, sexual functioning, pain, spasticity, weakness, fatigue. But you also need to take responsibility to stay well. And staying well with MS has always been my theme from the past 30 years. Because for 30 years now, recently, we have things to do. When I first started in MS, there was a whole dialogue of diagnose and adios, or go home and live with it, or call me if you have a problem. So people went home and they just sat. And today we know just sitting is not a good idea. You want to stay well. So nutrition, wellness. We need to support your family. We need to support the person that cares for you, both emotionally and physically. And very importantly, and this is something the society does extremely well, is to tap into community resources. I'm so proud of what's happening here in New Jersey with the housing for the disabled that's popping up all over the state. And this has been a dream of ours for so many years, and to see it coming true, where people with MS can live, rather than going to nursing homes, live in facilities with services and support in barrier-free facilities. To me, that's just wonderful. And please don't ever forget the role of rehabilitation in MS. Years ago, and this is quite many years ago, people with MS were told, rest a lot, take care of yourself, don't get overheated, don't exercise. Well, today we know that that's not a good idea. In fact, it's probably a bad idea. It can be harmful. So what rehab goals should actually be is achieve and maintain. Achieve your best, highest functioning and maintain it. You want to be able to achieve the maximum you can physically, psychologically, socially, vocationally. And each of us is different. We all have a different goal in terms of what we want for our quality of life. Some people do like to sit home at night and watch the boob tube. Other people like to go out and take a run. Other people go to the movies. Other people volunteer. Some people do all of the above. So what we need in rehabilitation is to keep you functional and well and strong so you can achieve your quality of life and your goals. We also need to understand that one of the things we're learning about MS is that the more you do, the better it is for your brain, not just for your muscles. There's a whole new area of study going on right here in New Jersey at Kessler, where they're looking at something called the functional MRI. And you've all had an MRI to diagnose your MS. The functional MRI actually looks at areas of the brain that light up, that function when you do certain tasks. And what we've learned in the past few years is that the more people remain active, the more plastic and malleable and growth potential is in the brain. It's something what we call cognitive reserve. In other words, it's sort of a reserve store of energy, of function. And we've seen this a lot, not just in MS, but in older people that sort of give things up and don't exercise and get very, very weak and get tired and lose their cognitive abilities. So therefore, exercise just doesn't exercise those muscles. It exercises your brain as well. Rehab also is a philosophy of care. It brings back to us to start looking at that multidisciplinary approach. Rehab consists of like physical therapy. You could have occupational therapy. It's definitely patient-centered. It's not like group exercise where somebody sticks a video up and says, all right, let's just exercise to Richard Simmons. It's patient-centered. It's designed to try to address your problems. And in MS, and particularly recently now with the new Medicare ruling, years ago people with MS did not get ongoing rehab with Medicare, but now there's a new rule that will, quote-unquote, pay for maintenance therapy. And therefore, therapy, physical therapy or occupational therapy, could be intermittent throughout a year to sustain your function, or it could be ongoing if you have a relapse. In other words, if you have a relapse and it affects your walking, you might be able to get a prescription from your physician or your nurse clinician to go for 6 or 8 weeks, 2 or 3 times a week, to exercise. While you're exercising, the therapist can be teaching you and you could be learning. And interspersed with all that is the wellness behaviors, because exercise should not just be done during rehab. You should be able to do things like walking if you like to walk, even if you use a walker. In Florida, at our annual meeting, we had a fantastic program on a whole body of knowledge about aquatics therapy, swimming. In fact, the Multiple Sclerosis Service Association, MSAA, the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America, has a brand new book that they're putting out. And the society, we all work cooperatively to develop the book on water therapy. And Nancy had, in our chapter here in northern New Jersey, we've had a swim program for like 35 years. Right, Nance?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, so exercise should be done not just during rehab, but it's an ongoing thing, and that's very important. So I gave you a bunch of slides to look at, and you could see on one of the slides where you can have the therapy. Rehab services can be done, of course, in a hospital. It could be done in a clinic. It could be done in a multidisciplinary clinic. It can be done both as an inpatient or an outpatient or in groups. Our community school here in Fallon, where I live, has group exercises, and they have things like yoga or Pilates, or they have the swimming pool, or they have Tai Chi. I know a number of MS societies have Tai Chi programs, but many of them also respond to ideas that would come from you. So if you have an idea about a program you would like to do, you should probably contact the MS Society, whether it be the Greater Northern, now what is it again, the Greater New Jersey Metro Chapter, Nancy?
Oh, yeah, New Jersey's the New Jersey Metro Chapter.
The New Jersey Metro Chapter. Or if you live out of state, I'm sure all the chapters would be happy to hear from you about an idea that you might have. We also know that we talk about early intervention. And early intervention is referred to for a number of reasons. One is, of course, we talk about early intervention with medications. Now, one of the philosophies of MS is get people on disease-modifying therapies early. But early intervention might also refer to rehab, to your activity and exercise. Because what happens, unless you do address problems, for an example, if a person develops spasticity, muscle spasms, tightness, cramping, those muscles can get very short, and the person's limb, whatever it is, an arm or a leg, could lose function and you could lose strength. So it's very important, if you're experiencing a problem, you need to disclose it to your physician, to your nurse, to your physical therapist. Education will empower you to recognize those symptoms, so I'd encourage you to participate in educational programs to learn about the disease itself, but then learn how to support yourself and motivate yourself to take action when something is bothering you. I know, you know, it's very, very, very easy to blame things on multiple sclerosis, but you know, not everything is MS. If you have a problem with a headache, it doesn't always mean it's multiple sclerosis. If you're having problems with pain, it's not always MS. And if you're having problems with other things like not moving your bowels, that might very well be your MS. So it's very important to disclose this problem to somebody who will listen, whether it be your nurse, your physician, your therapist. But it's very important to look to help, to change and make a positive change on behaviors. So I'm going to move on to what I learned down in Florida at the annual meeting. One of the things that we've learned is that there was a research study using something called the WeFit. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but the We is spelled W-I-I. So there was a study looking at people with MS who are non-ambulatory, who really didn't walk very well, even if they did walk, and they used the WeFit to do some exercise sitting and watching it on the screen, whether it be on a TV or a DVD. And what they found was a very, very positive outcome in terms of strength, in terms of feeling well, and breathing. certain things, appetite improved. So there's one opportunity for you to take advantage of something that's very simple, that could be done online, and that could be exciting and a lot of fun. Another study looked at the effects of working with a group. You know, people always say, well, you know, I have MS, I want to stay private, I don't need to sit in a group and have them look at me when I have this problem with my leg. But one of the things that was found by Robert Modell, who works out in Illinois, was that the group experience was extremely important to people during the rehabilitation process. And what they also found was during the rehab process, there was a great deal of sharing. And what they found was people with MS, when they started to recognize that their problems were not unique to them, they were able to share a lot, not only with the people they were exercising with, but they were able to communicate to the healthcare professional and get help for the problems they were facing. We have to remember that today, the big focus is on disease-modifying therapy. And lots of times people are not ashamed, but they have so little time to talk to their doctor or their nurse, and there's so much focus on the pills. But it's important to communicate. So this study showed the importance of communication using the group therapy milieu while exercising, then moving ahead to empower the person to go ahead and communicate with his or her physician, because they no longer felt like they were alone or experiencing the things that they were experiencing by themselves. Another new thing that's coming down the pike very shortly is a wellness app, an app that's going to be put out. I think it's going to be released later this month by a drug company called Acorda Therapeutics, which is almost like a self-monitoring program. And I had a chance to take a look at it, and it looks quite interesting. It's a way of, I don't know if any of you are familiar with this program that's an app called Fooducate, where you actually take your iPhone or your Android and you scan a label on a piece of food, whether it be a can of soup or a jar of cream cheese or something like that, and it tells you how many calories are in there. And then it comes back and says, well, if you eat all this, you're not going to be able to do thus and such or eat anymore today because you've used up your calorie count. Well, this app is going to come along and talk about energy expenditure and all kinds of wellness things that you can do to stay well in MS. And I think that's also extremely exciting. MSAA, the MS Society, all of them have online support services in terms of education and support. And I think that we're going to be overwhelmed in the next few years with the opportunities for technology. One of the other things that we talked about a great deal there was the future and what's going to happen to MS down the road. And one of the things that was talked about was, I don't know if you're familiar with this scale called the EDSS. That's a scale which measures mobility, a person's ability to walk. And one of the things we're finding with that scale, it's not really as accurate or sensitive as we'd like. So there are a number of other scales that are being looked at for neurologists, along with the MRI, to be able to determine if a person's condition is changing, if they need a change of therapy, if they need rehabilitation. So you watch what's going to happen over the next several years. There's going to be a lot of new measurements, a lot of new outcomes that you're going to be seeing in a lot of research, where it may be a simple tool such as you measuring your 25-foot walk. In other words, using your iPhone, and you walk 25 feet, and you'll be able to time yourself and then call your doctor up and say, well, I walked 25 feet in 22 seconds today. And the doctor will say, oh, very good. Last time you walked it in 44 seconds. So all those kinds of new measures and new exciting outcomes are going to be very important in MS and may contribute a great deal to medication routines and measuring outcomes of treatments. One last thing that was also very exciting, I don't know if any of you have heard about OCT. That's called ocular coherence tomography. It actually looks inside the eye, behind the eye, at the retina. Now, the retina is the back of the eye where we receive light images, and those light images are interpreted and sent to the brain so we can see. Somehow or other, a new tool has been developed called this OCT, which now is purporting to measure the thickness of the retina, and then they'll be able to measure it when you're on treatments, whether it be a whole exercise program or disease-modifying therapy or an IV infusion, something like that. And instead of having to go through a large MRI tube, which is quite expensive, it may turn out down the road that this simple test, which looks into your eye and can measure the thickness of your retina, may determine treatment outcomes. And to me, that's extremely exciting, because not only will it be able to sort of rapidly determine how you're doing, but think about the money that we all spend. I know many of us use our insurance. But when you think about it, the bottom line is if we can save money for things like rehabilitation, for things like a swim program, for activities and exercises that don't tax our budget, and we could save the MRI that we don't have to do as regularly as we normally would do now, I think that would be a terrific outcome down the road. So I'm going to, there are a couple of questions that I was given before I started this talk, and I'd like to answer them and then turn it back to the operator. So my first question here is how to know what's ahead for us. I wish we all knew. I assume this person was talking about MS. So what I've just told you in terms of things like MRI, OCT, 25-foot timed walk, those are the best tools we have right now in terms of prognosing MS. What do we know for the future? One of the things I heard down in Florida at our annual meeting was the huge amount of work that is being done on genetics. You know now that they've been able to map the entire human genome, which is millions and millions of genes. On the other hand, there's a Dr. Stephen Hauser that's now able to now draw blood from people with MS and be able to start predicting the disease course based on genetic patterns. I would anticipate, based on the type of work he's doing, that over the next few years, we probably are going to see some genetic, or what we call genotyping, where people with MS can be told what their disease course could be, possibly, and suggest the type of treatment that they should be using. They also, from the genotyping, may be able to predict what type of medication would be best for them. Because remember that there are now biomarkers, markers that are from biologic places in our body, like our blood, like our spinal fluid, like the brain MRI. And I bet that within the next few years, they're going to be able to take this genotyping and be able to match it up against potential treatments and say, just like they're starting to do with cancers, they're able to take genotypes and say, well, somebody has breast cancer, this person will do really much better on this type of medication. So keep your fingers crossed, guys. Right now, the best we can do is give you the best we can for the team approach, rehabilitation, wellness, a positive outlook, good nutrition, and we will be there for you. I promise you that. But in the future, and very, very short time from now, we're going to start seeing some very exciting, very complex new things that we'll all have to learn a new language about, which is genetics. And don't ask me, because that's way over my head. But who knows, maybe someday I'll learn a little bit more about it. So the next question is, if I'm relapsing MS, why am I progressing negatively? That's a very difficult question to ask. People with MS, unfortunately, have a relapsing form, and so they might have a relapse and not go truly back to their baseline. So, for an example, somebody normally with relapsing MS walks independently, but might wake up one morning and the right leg is dragging. And then the next day, the left leg is dragging. So they have treatment with IV steroids and some rehabilitation and some rest. And then they exercise and they go back to feeling good, but that right leg continues to drag. Sometimes in a relapsing form of MS, there may not be 100% recovery. So that's not necessarily progression. It just might mean, like when you cut yourself and the cut heals, there might be a scar that remains. And that scar will cause the tissue on, say, your arm to feel a little tight and not function quite as well. And you could use that same analogy in MS. If a person's had a relapse, you may or may not recover back to 100%. But that may not mean necessarily that you're getting worse. It just means that there's some scarring in a key area. And it may take time, sometimes up to 6 months. Or it may not get better. And that's something you should accept. But don't give up. Keep exercising, keep moving, keep functional, keep on your medications. Don't get discouraged and stop everything, which some people do. And keep plugging because, as I said, we have a bright future ahead of us. There's a lot of new stuff coming. And your job is to stay well and be ready for the next round of treatments that are coming along. Question 3, interested in technology available for computers and speech. Loss of volume and extremely slurred speech, loss of arms, would like to use a computer. There is a computer program which is called Dragon Dictate. Kessler Rehab is doing a lot of work with computers, with people who are unable to do anything but things like eye movement or moving the head. It would just be important, and I think it's too late now because the Abilities Expo is over. Nancy, did you get notice of that, the Abilities Expo last month?
Oh, I don't know anything more about it. It was last month.
Yeah, it was last month. You know, it might be good. Go online and look for Abilities Expo. I know they're all over the country. It might come back to us in the fall. But at that conference, they have the most fantastic technology you have ever seen. I saw Dragon Dictate there 20 years ago. Where it's you can dictate using your mouth, and I saw a person who could not speak well was able to get a voice amplifier and was able to dictate and make the computer work. And of course, you know that there's a guy named Stephen Hawking who is got ALS, not MS, and he's able to run his computer using blinks of the eye. So technology is out there, and look for Abilities Expo. The other thing is you might want to talk to an occupational therapist because they're the ones that do a lot of work with enhanced communication. Speech and language pathologists, same thing. And you might want to contact Kessler Rehab, which is right here in Southwest Orange, New Jersey, to see if they have a department looking at enhanced computerized activities. Next question, relying on others to help you versus independence. When to ask for help or not ask for help. Accepting versus refusing help. Dealing with pride and ego. Dealings with feelings of hurt and creating joy for yourself. Well, this person just gave out the whole picture of having a progressive disease. That is so difficult, and it's something that I can only sense and empathize with because I don't have that MS and I don't have that type of MS. But it's wonderful, whoever wrote this, to be able to express your feelings. And I hope you express those feelings to others that try to help you, that work with you, that may get frustrated sometimes, that may do things wrong. You may get angry at them, they get angry at you. But communication is the key. I've learned that over the past 30 years, that really you can't do much wrong to someone with MS, and they can't do much wrong to you if you communicate. But if you keep silent and you keep angry and you just shut everybody out and vice versa, they do the same to you, that's hurtful and harmful. So I think communication is the key, and that's why that study on groups is so important. It's so important for you out there to have friends, to work with family, to get out of yourself and not make MS your career. People with MS got to know it's like you have brown hair and brown eyes, and you're 5'2" or 5'6" or whatever you are, and you happen to have MS, but you're also a lovely person who likes to read and watch TV, who likes to sing, and who likes to communicate. So don't make MS take over your whole life. Let it be part of your life, but don't let it be it. Last question. One of the symptoms I have is tremor in my right hand. I am right-handed, so routine activities like holding a fork or a toothbrush has become problematic, absolutely. I got a Botox injection in my arm from my doctor, but the problem persists. Any advice? Yes, occupational therapy. When you, especially right after you got the Botox, you should have gone for occupational therapy. Once you got the Botox and those muscles were loosened up a bit, and you might have had maybe a bit of weakness, the occupational therapist could have worked on strengthening your arm, possibly bracing your arm, possibly weighting your arm, possibly giving you what we call weighted utensils or tools to work with that you can handle and be independent. There's a whole bunch of strategies. When you get treated for MS, no matter what it is, if you get IV steroids, if you get oral steroids, if you get Botox, rehab after that to retrain the muscles is extremely, extremely important. So if you're still having the tremor, try to get a prescription for an occupational therapist. And Nancy's got a list of partners of the MS Society. And if you don't live in New Jersey, I'm sure your local chapter will help you. Okay? Anyway, now I'm going to turn it over to our friend, the operator, to see if she can reach out to all of you for more questions.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please stay on the line for a five-question survey after the Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number one key. Again, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number one key. Our first question is going to come from Steve. Steve, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm confused. I thought this was this conference was about progressive MS.
Correct.
And I haven't heard much at all about progressive MS. I'm wondering why is there nothing being done as far as drugs for progressive MS?
That's a great question. I deliberately did not talk about progressive MS because there really is no approved treatment at this time, but there is a lot being done for progressive MS, and we're learning a lot more about progressive MS, and that's why I started my talk by saying that there is still discussion out there is what is progressive MS? Is it just relapsing MS that's turned into a worsening course? Because one of the studies, a recent study actually done with Copaxone, actually it was a few years ago, was one of the criteria to get into the study was based on the thought that people with progressive MS do not have what we call enhancing lesions on MRI. In other words, I'm sure you've had where an MRI where you got an injection of gadolinium. And what's thought is that the gadolinium does not light up any lesions in someone with progressive disease. What turns out from that study is that about 80% of the people in the study with progressive MS had enhancing lesions, which made their brains look like they had relapsing MS. Relapsing MS has what we call enhancing lesions. Therefore, there's a whole new look at really what is progressive MS. There are studies now going on. Several of the studies that took place over the past several years were not positive. One was with Copaxone. Another one was with the drug called rituximab, which is now being studied in a different format called ocrelizumab. So those two studies, the rituximab and Copaxone, did not have positive results at all. In other words, what you're looking for is a positive outcome. Whatever the endpoint that they set up, they want to reach, was not achieved. So the drug was not approved for progressive forms of disease. Right now, as I mentioned, ocrelizumab is being studied, and Gilenya, which is a drug that's approved for relapsing MS, is being studied for progressive MS. There is a study using natalizumab, or Tysabri, with something called secondary progressive MS. But as of today, the only drug that has been approved for a progressive form of MS, and it's approved in mainly in Europe, is Betaseron, because they had a study in Europe years ago looking at secondary progressive MS, which is a type of MS that changes from relapsing remitting to more progressive. In the study in Europe, beta-seron worked very well. In the U.S., the study did not come out positively. The reason I focused on my early part of my talk on rehab is because no matter what form of MS you have, and even though there are no drugs for this type of disease, you've got to be aggressive and take care of yourself. And right now, the best thing we can offer is the rehabilitation to try to keep people functional and safe. I hope that answers your question, Steve. But don't despair. There's a lot of work going on out there and a lot of studying to try to understand what truly is progressive MS and is there such a thing, or is it just not one big disease that acts differently in different people?
Our next question is going to come from Barbara. Barbara, please go ahead.
Could you explain more about this WE assessment? You said something about a walking assessment.
Okay. There are two things. The WE Fit actually is actually what was started out as a kid's toy. You know, it's one of those things you put on a box and play games. But there's a program called WE Fit in which a person actually sits in front of a screen and follows the instructions to do exercise. And it was quite interesting. They did a very nice study over at the University of Chicago in the Rehab Institute, and they found a great deal of positive impact on those people who participated in it. Personally, I think it's a great idea for a person, unfortunately, who's homebound. I still believe in getting out and getting to a therapy, such as aquatics therapy, a group exercise program, one-to-one therapy in a unit. Because it can, you know, part of the new information about rehab is the benefits of psychosocial as well as physical. So then as far as the walking tool, there's a new tool that will be coming out fairly shortly. It's an app that you would upload from, I guess it's iTunes, onto your phone, where you'd be able to monitor your own exercise and your own wellness and your own fitness and your walking and that kind of thing. So it's almost like a wellness monitoring tool. And I think Accorda Therapeutics probably is going to release it sometime later in June. And I'm sure they're going to make a big announcement, and the society will know, will all know about it.
Our next question is going to come from David. David, please go ahead.
Yes. Jean, on your slides, you had the different symptoms of MS between cognitive, physical, and fatigue. They had different percentages. And if you could just recap those percentages and mention which of those are most troubling or impacting on people's ability to continue working.
I think probably the most disabling and yet invisible symptom of MS is fatigue. And I would say probably if we did a survey, even just among all of you on the phone, fatigue is probably one of the most predominant symptoms of MS and one of the earliest symptoms of MS. And fatigue certainly can affect a person's ability to work and be productive. And one of the things that we've learned over the years, I mean, there are meds out there. There's a medication, Provigil, which is now generic, and then there's Nuvigil. But it would seem to me that one of the things that we've learned in the past few years about fatigue that is that it can be overcome in some people, not all, in some people, by keeping active and initiating what we call effective energy expenditure, learning how to spend your energy in a cost-effective way, so to speak, and doing things such as exercise to maintain stamina, in a car if you're driving to and from work, getting hand controls, utilizing a scooter, a motorized scooter, if walking long distances can make you tired. So, I mean, fatigue, I think, is probably the number one problem. But unfortunately, it's invisible, and there are many people. It's like when something comes on you gradually, and you don't realize, but little by little, you're getting more and more tired. And it's very, very hard to pinpoint when this all started. So that's the type of problem that one can go to rehabilitation and try to address early on and try to control. And again, there are medications, but I do feel that fitness, endurance, stamina is very important to try to minimize that fatigue wherever possible.
My next question is going to come from Margaret. Margaret, please go ahead.
I guess I was interested. I thought the call was going to discuss how to navigate the world of assistive technology and suggest ways to modify the environment at home. And I know you referred now to computers. You referred to apps. And then the option seems to be to go to OT or rehab to learn more.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's it?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah. Well,
we have to go to rehab to...
Well, you really don't have to, but, you know, I'm sorry you missed the Abilities Expo. That's the place to go, though. I mean, I wish we had it all year round.
Are they in different parts of the country?
Yeah, they are. They are. Uh-huh. That's why I say it's called Abilities Expo. It started, believe it or not, here in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And then I think they go to California. They're all over. I think Florida. I would just go to do a Google search, abilitiesexpo.com or org. And then, Nancy, when you find out about it, will you post it on the MS Society website?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, because I tell you, and it's been around for a long, long time. They were one of the pioneers in things like, computerized technology, the ceiling. They used to be this terrible lifters to help patients who needed to get out of bed. And now some of the newer technology, some of the newer Hoyer lifts are all computerized. A lot of the new wheelchairs are amazing. They have stand-up wheelchairs, but the computerized stuff is just, and it's cheaper. Dragon Dictate, when I first started looking at that equipment, was $16,000. And the last time I saw Dragon Dictate, it was something like $600 or $700. So I would suggest, but go to Abilities Expo and see where they're at, because that's probably the way to go rather than go to, because I don't think any rehab center is going to have that kind of variety of equipment.
Our next question is going to come from Bert. Bert, please go ahead.
I have heard the phrase primary progressive and secondary progressive.
Right, right.
And I have heard that there are programs or medications or treatments that are available for secondary but not for primary, and that there are no primary progressive.
You know, you know what, Bert, this is all semantics. Years ago, Dr. Fred Lublin and Steve Reingold grouped the clinical courses of MS into that, you know, relapsing, remitting, secondary progressive, progressive relapsing, and primary progressive. And again, there's still a debate out there, is this one disease? There's a Dr. Stuart Cook in Newark who thinks that MS is MS is MS. Secondary progressive MS turns out to probably be a worse course than primary progressive, because what they're finding is that somebody who has quote-unquote this disease course may take a much longer period of time to get from walking to being not wheelchair confined, but using a wheelchair for longer distances or for using for longer periods of time. It seems that secondary progressive is a switch from relapsing, remitting. And again, you know, I think we have to give these definitions some time and space, because of all of our new emerging technology, we may be seeing these categories go down the tubes. They may find out that these are all one diseases, but with different genetic responses to the whatever the agent is, whatever is causing MS, that somebody's body responds to whatever it is in a more aggressive way, and that therefore becomes more progressive. And somebody with a different type of genetic profile may respond to a certain, whatever it is, stimulus, whatever starts MS, in a more positive way and maybe more slowly getting worse or not get worse at all. So I think I would hold off and not label people yet, and we try not to in the clinical area. The only reason that these clinical courses were grouped together in such a way was to try to group people in similar patterns so they could study drugs. To be honest with you, I think each individual person, if we took all of you on the phone tonight and put you all in a room, every single one of you would have a different course. every single one of you started out with one symptom or a different symptom or another disease course. So, but it was more of a scientific model than a model that should get you worried. And I think, hold off a little bit. Let's wait and see what happens, because watch the genome. Watch the genetics. We're going to see a lot of new information over the next few years. And just like cancer is no more just cancer anymore, these are people with different forms of cancer, and they're able to group them together based on genetic profiles. We have an exciting couple of years ahead of us. So I realize what you're saying, sir. There is, by the way, no approved treatment for either form of progressive MS except in Europe. The abetaceron is approved for secondary progressive MS, mainly in Europe. It is approved in the U.S., but a lot of docs are not using it. And we're waiting and holding our breath to see if some of the current studies on more progressive disease come up positive. Let's all keep our fingers crossed, okay?
Our next question is going to come from Dorothy. Dorothy, please go ahead.
Hi, yes. I'm just calling because I heard her talking something about rehab or something where if you had to live in a facility or something in New Jersey, or I'm not quite sure what she was saying.
Right. The MS Society has been very, very active in the past few years in working with developers in building homes for people with multiple sclerosis. There's one all the way down in Freehold. Nancy, there's one in Lyndhurst?
Yes, we are involved with several initiatives in New Jersey with in helping get housing. Helping get housing built for people with disabilities, including people who have MS.
So where would she call? Yeah, where would she call for information, Nancy?
She would have to call her own chapter to see, you know, what's going on in her chapter territory.
Okay, if she's in New Jersey, the number is?
Oh, she can call me directly, 201-977-6051.
Okay, I hope that helps. If you're not in New Jersey, then call your local chapter. All the chapters are definitely moving in that direction to try to help people remain independent and live in facilities that will accommodate their needs. Right, Nance?
Right. We are working towards that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Our next question is going to come from Anne. Anne, please go ahead.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, hi, Anne. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fine, thank you. I'm just wondering. I have progressive MS and have had it for several years, and I'm just wondering, what is next as far as the symptoms that I have. I am currently in a wheelchair, and I don't suffer from any pain.
Good.
But I know it because I have had pain. But I just wondered, is there a progression of symptoms?
Not necessarily. You know, if you're getting good care, you're sitting in a chair that's comfortable for you, you're eating well, and you're, you know, staying healthy, getting yourself checked out on a regular basis, go to the dentist, get your eyes checked, you shouldn't have any more symptoms. You should remain stable. One of the good things about, you know, having a disease like MS is that you remain within a healthcare system, and you should monitor yourself. And if you see a change in yourself, get help quickly. You know, the people with MS don't necessarily, once they get to a certain point, the disease itself may stabilize. But if you get an infection or if you get sick with the flu, those are the things that can really trigger off an MS relapse or worsening of symptoms. So you really, in the fall, you should get a flu shot. You should get your teeth checked. You need to stay well. Make sure your skin stays nice and moist and intact. So it's up to you to stay well, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get worse or have any more symptoms. Just take care of yourself. Stay well.
Our next question is going to come from Kathy. Kathy, please go ahead.
Okay. I've had MS for 50 years, and I'm in a wheelchair now, and I'm doing quite okay. But what I wanted to say, I started our MS self-help group probably 25 years ago,
Wow.
And the best advice that I received from anybody was a fellow who came in, and he was in a wheelchair, and at that time I was walking and I was doing fine. But he said that the best advice that he could give anybody with MS, whether you're walking or in a wheelchair, go to have therapy periodically, because he said you don't realize it, but when your body gets weaker, you begin to walk the a way that is completely wrong. And I have kept that up, and your core strength is so important. And what we have had tonight has pointed out the importance of keeping up with physical therapy, and I just want to say it works.
Oh, thank you. I didn't rehearse you now, right? Thank you so much. Nancy, we need to include her on the next conference call. That's great. Thank you. I think we have time for one or two more questions.
Okay. Our next question is going to come from Mikhail. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mikhail. Are you there? I guess we got Mikhail tired. Okay, one more question, operator.
Our next question is going to come from Matt. Matt, please go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Matt.
I'm sorry to ask you a complicated question here, but
okay, go right ahead.
I've had relapsing remitting MS for 5 years,
uh-huh.
And I gotta say I've kind of let myself go in the time
uh-huh.
that I've been diagnosed, because I'm just afraid of losing my job and losing the benefits that I need.
Sure.
And so now I've been avoiding seeing so many of the people on your first slide. It was so intimidating. And is there a person or resource that I can be turned to suggest to help me prioritize and schedule who to see and how
sure.
to coordinate my care between all of those people?
Sure. Where do you
and
live? Do you live in New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have a neurologist who you see?
I do.
Okay. That's probably the person you need to sit down with next visit and just try to talk about, your determination to stay at work. And that's a great motivator, absolutely. But you need to sit down and have a discussion with your neurologist to try to find out if you're right now at this point, should you go for a rehab evaluation? Possibly should you go to a case manager or a social worker? And if that's tough for you, I'm sure the MS Society has some support services. There, I know Nancy's got a wonderful cadre of people that she works with throughout New Jersey for counseling and some social work services. So I'm not sure where you live, Matt, but wherever you live, do reach out, if either to your neurologist, or if that's not comfortable for you, go to the MS Society, and I'm sure they can give you a referral to someone who can help you. And in the worst case, if you have a little problem, Nancy can always give you my phone number, and I'll be happy to talk to you. Okay?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can please stay on the line for the survey.
Okay. Thank you all for your attention. Nancy, thank you so much. I hope I met your expectations tonight, and I know there are more questions out there, but maybe next time. So I'll say good night, Nancy, and thank you all.
Okay. Thank you, June. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to do the question survey.
Oh, can I get off, though?
Yes.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Our first question is, I learned at least one new thing about improving independence and progressive MS. Please press 1 for agree. Press 2 for disagree. Press 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling has closed for this question. Please give me one moment while I tally the results.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. One more
Our next question is, I understand how to better cope with progressive MS. Press 1 for agree, press 2 for disagree, and press 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results. Okay. Our third question is, I can identify at least one new strategy to better communicate with my family and friends. Press 1 for agree, press 2 for disagree, and press 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results. Our fourth question is, I can identify at least one new resource to optimize dependence. Press 1 for agree, press 2 for disagree, press 3 for no opinion, or it does not apply. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results, please. And our fifth and final question is, I am more likely to register for other teleconferences because I like this learning format. Please press 1 for agree, please press 2 for disagree, and please press 3 for no opinion or does not apply. Polling has closed for this question. Give me one moment while I tally the results, please. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes our survey. And Ms. Chazen, do you have anything else?
No, I just want to thank everyone for joining us tonight, and we hope you learned something new.
Ladies and gentlemen, this now concludes our teleconference. You may now disconnect.